Hello, you've tuned in to Finding Truth Matters with Dr. Andrew Corbett, and it's great to have you join us for the program. When was the last time you read a book and went, wow? Have you ever had an encounter with Jesus and gone, wow? If you're missing the wow factor in your relationship with Jesus, you'll be interested in Dr. Corbett's comments as he continues with his series on the wonder of it all. Let's join Dr. Corbett now for a message he delivered for Christmas, part two of The Wonder of Jesus.
It's amazing how Jesus Christ has fascinated the greatest minds of all time. It's amazing how a little child can be gripped by the story of a baby born in a manger. Something so simple, yet so profound. I heard a preacher talk about a book that he's just written, and it's called The 500 Imperatives of Jesus. And I thought, I'll be blowed. Where do you get that from? He got it out of the Beatitudes. Three chapters, Matthew chapter 5, 6 and 7, and he's found 500 commands that Jesus gave in those three chapters, and he's written a 500-page book on it. And I thought, mate, why don't you just read the three chapters? It takes up three pages in my Bible. The person, the teaching, the life of Christ can so fill the greatest minds. When we look at the comments that people have through the ages, down through history, given about Christ, we read some of the most astounding things. The things that people like Napoleon said. Napoleon, one of the greatest military minds of all time, said, there has never been a greater man that has walked the planet than Jesus Christ. Even atheists have said there was something unusual about this man. Other people have said things like, no man could have ever done what Jesus Christ did. He must have truly been the God that he claimed to be. Jesus Christ can meet you where you're at. And today your life can be changed. You know what researchers tell me about Christmas Day? Researchers tell me that Christmas Day is one of the happiest days of people's lives. Especially was to my little Zoe at 4:20 a.m. this morning. When from the adjoining bedroom we hear through our paper-thin bedroom walls, Ebony, Ebony, are you awake? It's Christmas Day! Then we hear Ebony going, huh? What? Then we hear, oh, yeah, so it is. And from there it was just a write-off. The rest of the morning was just a write-off. If you got a Bible, which would be an unusual thing to bring to church on a Christmas day, but if you have, then I'd like you to turn to Matthew chapter 2, because I want you to realise that today, this is the other thing researchers tell me, Christmas Day for many is the saddest day of their life. It's a sad day. It's a day where for many the thoughts of family, they find depressing because of broken relationships of the past, or they find it brings up memories that are too painful for them, or the thought that this is the day when families get together and I'm not getting on with my family. This can be a sad day for many people. This is a day of mixed emotions. And when it comes to spiritual things, this is a day of great irony. This is a day of incredible irony. The irony is that here we are celebrating on a Monday morning in church, the birth of our Saviour. Here we are on Christmas Day to remember Jesus. And yet, so few do. It's a great irony. Christmas, the M-A-S, means celebration. In some churches, they call their church service the Mass, the celebration of the Christ. The celebration of the Christ. And He can grip your mind. And it can begin today. He can grip your mind throughout the course of this day. If I was to ask you, what is Christmas about? For many of you, it's presents, it's food. For mothers, it's work. For people, this is a day. For some, it's stress. For others, it's fishing. For others, it's relief. For others, it's lounging about. For others, it's holidays. But I think when the early Christians around 300 AD or so saw a pagan festival that was celebrated at the winter equinox, December 25, where they bid a greeting to the god of the sun. The Christians came in and said, "Well, that won't do. Let's make this same date, this same festival, a day where we worship the Son of God, not the God of the sun." And so Christmas, from about 300 and something AD, took on new meaning, and it's gripped minds ever since. Reading from Matthew chapter 2. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men came from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who is born the king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." And that's my job today. My job today is to worship him, and in some small way, if I can just give you a glimpse of who he really is, if I can give you a glimpse, if maybe just a shudder of who he really is can just leap past your imagination today, that will cause something in your heart to rise up and go, "Oh, wow, that's called worship." And that's what I want to do for you today. I want to help you worship the only one who is worthy of that word that is so cheaply used, awesome. I want you to worship him today. See who he really is. Did you notice this? This is really fascinating. It says now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem in the days of King Herod, wise men came from the east. I find that amazing. I find it amazing that Jesus was born at a time when emperors were conquering the world, when kings were ruling over countries, when governors were exercising authorities over territories. And even while all that was happening, in the very midst of where that was happening, people came from a far off land. And you may think these were Arabs, they were actually Persians. They came from the east, which means they headed which direction? West. So these wise men, isn't that an amazing term, wise men? Not the smartest men, not the professors, not the degreed men, the wise men. And people who look for Jesus are wise. You may never have had a university education, you know, being stupid by degrees. You may never have been in a position where you were called upon for your intellect. But if you look for Jesus, you've begun a path of wisdom. You're on a path of wisdom. These wise men came from the east. This is really interesting because when we look at why they came because they saw a star. But it's even more interesting than that because around about 600 BC, there was a Persian man. His name was Zoroaster. And Zoroaster was a Persian who was in the midst of a society and a culture that worshipped idols and lots of gods. And Zoroaster said, "This doesn't make sense. These wooden statues, these marble statues, they don't seem to have a lot of power to me." And so Zoroaster got it into his head that that was silly. And so Zoroaster, this Persian who knew nothing, began a journey of wisdom. Zoroaster went out into the Persian wilderness and he just cried out, "Is there a God? Is there a God? God, if you're real, reveal yourself to me." And with that, he was struck with several visions where he claims that he heard God. Zoroaster wrote this around 600 or so BC. He said, "God has shown me that he has a son. God has shown me that he will send his son who will be born of a 15-year-old virgin girl. God has shown me that when that happens, he will set his star in the sky and that we are to seek the one to whom the star points." I find that incredible. You know, there are Persians who still follow the teachings of Zoroaster. They're called Zoroastrians. And Zoroaster pointed to the one who would come and baptize with fire. And today, part of the Zoroastrian worship is fire, written 600 or something BC. And so these wise men who came from the east were looking for the fulfillment of that prophecy given some 600 years earlier. But do you know, when they came, they were actually fulfilling something that someone said 100 years earlier. I'd like you to turn, if you've got your Bibles, to Isaiah. And we're Isaiah chapter 7. And in Isaiah, this is what the prophet Isaiah said about 100 years before Zoroaster. Isaiah 7:14, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign." This is exactly what Zoroaster claims that he heard in 600 or so BC. "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." And that's exactly what we just read before, that Matthew, in the opening two chapters, says, "And when Jesus was born, he fulfilled that 780-year-old prophecy." He fulfilled what the Persians were looking for, and as soon as Christ was born, his star appeared and they came from the east to the west. Or should I go back to front? They came from the west to the east. I've got to get it right for you. So from the west to the east. There we are. It's interesting, you know, when God sent Jesus Christ, his son, he sent him for one mission: to save us from, well, we could look at this in Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, to save us from our sin. To save us from our sin. Remember, the first person who sinned was Adam. When Adam sinned, God sent him out of the garden, and he sent him out of the east gate. Adam was cast out of the east gate. You read this in Genesis chapter 3, and God sent this huge angel called a seraph, or a cherub there to guard the east gate. Adam was sent east. As mankind continued to sin, you remember it was Cain who killed Abel, like many a brother would like to do to his brother. And Cain just did it. And when Cain sinned and committed murder, he went east to the land of Nod. When mankind sin, the Bible says they head east. In the early accounts of Scripture, it's quite literally they headed east. They tried to get as far away from God as they could. Just bear that in mind when we read wise men came from the east. It means these people who were looking for Jesus went against the flow of where everyone else is going. Proverbs 16 says this: "There is a way that seems right to a man, but it ends in death. There is a way that sounds clever, it sounds smart. You'll even find learned professors to back you up, but it's wrong." And the Bible says there is a way that seems right to many, to man, but it ends in death. Jesus Christ put it this way: "The way that leads to eternal life is straight and narrow, but the way that leads to your destruction is broad and wide." Wise men came from the east, they headed west, and today I want to challenge and encourage you, if you are not looking for Jesus, you're heading east, so to speak, with your life. You may think it's cool to do what you're doing, but in your heart there's an ache. In your heart you know, this isn't me. This isn't who I want to be. This isn't where I want to go. Wise men came from the east to look for Jesus. Today, it's going to be my prayer for every person in this house that you will look for Jesus, whether you know him now or not, whether you've been walking with him for 20, 30, 40 years, whether you know the Bible or not, my prayer is that you will head west. Look for Jesus. Head toward Jesus. Wise men, head west. In Isaiah chapter 9, the prophet Isaiah went on to say this about Jesus: "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this." The Bible says that Jesus, this baby being born, will be called Wonderful, Counselor. You might need advice right now. Can I tell you, there's no better counselor than Jesus. There's no one better equipped, better able to counsel you out of whatever situation you're in right now than Jesus. Your life might not have purpose. You may not know where you're going. You need a counselor, not a vocational counselor. You need a Jesus counselor, the Wonderful Counselor. Jesus was prophesied 700 years before he was born that he would be the Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And when I think of that claim, the Prince of Peace, I think, man, if ever there was a day, if ever there was an age when people are looking for peace, it's today. It's today. Fair dinkum. Man, I'd like you to go to John chapter 1, because you might think that's some of the oldest reference to Jesus. Well, actually, if we had the time, we'd go back to Genesis chapter 3 and I'd show you Jesus mentioned there. I'd show you that in Genesis, Jesus is described as the one who'll crush the head of the enemy. He'll crush the head of the serpent. If we had time, we'd go through Exodus and I'd show you that Jesus was the Passover lamb. If we had time, we'd go through Numbers and I'd show you that he was the brazen serpent. If we had time, we'd go through Deuteronomy. I'd show you he was the rock from which water comes. If we went through Joshua, I'd show you that he was the conquering captain. If we could go through Ruth, I'd show you that he was the lover of our soul, the one that we are betrothed to, our redeemer kinsman. If we had time, we'd go through 1 Samuel, show that he was the prophet to come. We went through Kings, I'd show you he was the rightful son of David, the king that is to rule the world. If we had time to go through Nehemiah, I'd show you that he was the restorer of broken down walls. If we had time to go through Ezra, I would show you that he was the one that can take a world discouraged and put courage back into it, because the joy of the Lord is your strength and he's the one that gives you joy. If we had time, I'd go through Job and show you that he's the one that can comfort you in your affliction. If we had time, we'd go through Psalms and I'd show you that he's the praise of our soul. If I had time, I'd go through Proverbs and show you that he's the wisdom you're looking for. If I had time, we'd go through the Song of Solomon and show you that he is the lover of your soul. If I had time, we'd go through Isaiah and show you that he is the Mighty God, the Wonderful Counselor, the Prince of Peace. But I haven't got time. John chapter 1. It says this. Just because I keep talking doesn't mean you have to stop clapping. But anyway. John chapter 1, verse 14. This is the most profound verse. It says this: "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we've seen his glory. Glory as of the only Son of the Father, full of grace and truth." The Word became flesh. Jesus Christ is the Word you're looking for. You see, to the Greeks, they had this concept that peace, prosperity, fulfillment, wisdom, knowledge, life, purpose, satisfaction was all summed up in this one word they used, and the word was Logos. Logos. And every Greek's dream was to achieve Logos. Fulfillment, purpose, peace, wisdom, knowledge, understanding. My life counts. And John opens up his gospel and says this: "In the beginning," John chapter 1 verse 1, "was the Logos." It's translated in English as Word. "And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And now we come back down to verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we've seen His glory, the glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. I don't know what your concept of God is, but I've got to tell you, He's the one who loves you no matter what you've done. He's the one who can put Humpty Dumpty back together again. He's the one that no matter how hard you have tried to mess up your life, He can take it, undo the knots, put the shell back together and restore your life. He's the Word who became flesh. He's the one you're looking for. He's the wisdom you're looking for. He's the joy you're looking for. It's Jesus. He's wonderful. He's all wonderful. When He came and everything He did, the Bible describes as He performed signs and, what's the word? Wonders. Why? Because when you saw what He did, when you heard what He said, you wondered. And I think, man, we are fundamentally created to wonder. Parents, if your children are curious, just pour petrol on it. Let them go. Because we are created to wonder. Ever since my daughter Ebony could dismantle something, she did. At about 9 months, she wondered, what's this wallpaper stuff? And we came in one morning and there was her cot and there was the wallpaper in her cot. And ever since then, she's wondered. Thanks, Dad. Love you. Share anything about my life you like, Dad. I don't know. Going to kill you, Dad. I love you, Dad. He is. He's wonderful. Jesus is wonderful. We're meant to wonder. I read the story of a young boy that used to walk to church Sunday night in England with his father back in the 1800s. And as he walked, his father every Sunday would take a different path to church. Take a different way to get to church. They'd walk through a bit of forest. They'd walk around through streets. And eventually, the boy realized what his father was doing. He wanted his son to see things he'd never seen before, to wonder. And I want to do that for you with Jesus today. If you think He's some blonde-haired, blue-eyed, rather British-looking bloke who's born with a halo and a nice big smile in a cradle, in a stable, and thereon had a pretty cushy life, you don't know Him. It's as simple as that. You don't know the Jesus we're talking about. You don't know Him. I want to know Him. I want to be filled with wonder for this Jesus, the one that we celebrate His birth today. What a great day. You know what? The Word became flesh. Jesus became flesh. And today, Jesus can become flesh in you. Jesus can be born in you. And you can be born again. Your past can be obliterated. Whatever mistakes you've made, whoever you've made them with, can be rectified. Jesus is the restorer, the redeemer. The Word is Saviour. Saviour. That's the Word. I'd like you to turn to the very last book of your Bible. I want to show you what His intention is. You see, right now, Jesus Christ is very busy. He's on a mission. And part of my mission in life is to recruit as many people to His mission as possible. He's on a mission. He's on a mission to reveal who God really is to a world that thinks they know Him. And man, you can just about find a professor somewhere in the world that'll back up the weirdest, kookiest, stupidest ideas you've ever heard, and it still don't make them right. Revelation chapter 21. We're going to read from verse 3. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man." This is what Jesus Christ is ultimately going to accomplish. "And He will dwell with them, and they will be His people, and God Himself will be with them as their God." Verse 4. "He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away. Verse 5. And he who was seated on the throne said, behold, I am making all things new. And he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. And that is what he wants to do in your life today. Make you new. He wants to make you new. He wants to give you new life. This Jesus that you thought you knew, irrelevant to some, religious to others, just for Sunday, for some people who call themselves Christian, that's not the Jesus that was born in Bethlehem nearly 2,000 years ago. That Jesus is not irrelevant. He's not interested in having an hour and a half of your time on a Sunday. He's not interested in you having him as your religious label. He wants every part of your life. He wants to be relevant to the way you eat, the way you sleep, the way you drink. Jesus wants to make your life new. And that can begin today. Let's pray. Father, I pray right now for every person here. God, no matter where they're at, no matter who they are, no matter what they've done, no matter where they've been, what they've earned, what they've learnt, if they don't know Jesus, they don't know the Logos. They don't know that which is only worthy of being known. And now, Lord, I pray that we would really know you. And that, Lord, we join you in your mission to make you known. And that, Lord, as we prepare to worship you now, something in our hearts would just get a glimpse of you, of whom the prophet Isaiah said, on him the government rests upon his shoulders. And we just read in the last book of the Bible that you're seated on a throne, ruling and reigning. And yet, Lord, there are hearts in this house right now where that's not true. But you want it to be. And Lord, I pray it would be. I pray that you would rule and reign in my heart. Lord, I thank you that you're going to wipe away every tear. You're going to do away with death. You're going to do away with pain, sickness and suffering. But Lord, right now there are some here who are tasting of those things. And Lord, your word promises that you'll give us a measure of what you will one day do. So Lord, right now where there is sickness, where there is pain, where there is suffering, I rebuke that in Jesus' name. I command it to go and I speak healing into every life here right now in Jesus' name. Now, if you know, while eyes are closed, heads are bowed, if you know that you're not right with God, you do not have peace with God, then won't you pray this prayer? Lord Jesus, forgive me for what I've done. No one really knows what I've done, but you do. Forgive me. Come into my heart. Help me to start all over again. Help me to start new. I want to live for you. Jesus, I want to be born again. Help me, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
The wonder of Jesus. If your relationship with Jesus has lacked the wow factor, we hope tonight's discussion has spurred you on to pursue another encounter. Dr. Corbett concludes this series next week. For a review of tonight's discussion in your own time, you can purchase a CD copy for $5.50, including postage and handling. Finding Truth Matters resources, including podcasts, are available from the website www.findingtruthmatters.org or by contacting Lagana Media at PO Box 1143, Lagana, Tasmania 7277. Just quote the program title, The Wonder of Jesus, Part 2. If you'd like to subscribe to Finding Truth Matters monthly e-newsletter perspectives, visit findingtruthmatters.org and click subscribe. Dr. Corbett is pastor of Lagana Christian Church and president of ICI Theological College Australia. Finding Truth Matters is produced by Lagana Media. We look forward to joining you at the same time next week for another Finding Truth Matters.